Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon in the studio tonight for Patty Vasquez. I'm pretty late. That was all me. Okay, so I requested some Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah.
And Hush came through for us, Tom Hush, our producer. And then I forgot to hit the on button. So that's all me. That's all me. Tom, you did really well. I really appreciate it.
People give you what you want.
Yeah. And it just was my own fault.
And yet you still...
Hey, happy Friday, everybody. I don't know if anyone else had to work today, and a lot of people had it off, of course.
Right.
So it felt like a Monday to me all day, because we went back for the U, the morning show. Mm-hmm. Had a great morning show, mm-hmm. but it felt like a Monday. So now that I realize it's Friday night, and I've kept on reminding myself of the day, it's been a really wonderful feeling.
Yeah, and I also realized I'm done.
And this is
We're
amazing.
We're done.
Yeah, but you've had it much harder than I have.
A little bit.
You have basically lived here for the last 3 days.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking about it because I was at home, and I was just like, why does it feel like I haven't been here in a while?
Because you haven't.
Because I technically wasn't. Yeah, I was here.
Yeah, you slept at work, so...
But that's just one day.
Well, it's just,
and then the other one I just stayed awake.
Yeah, that's insane, because you were on until 9 this morning, right? Working
right.
through the overnight.
Yes, I was in for Mary Vandeveld.
After we had done 12 to 3 yesterday.
Yes, and then... Well, okay, so this was what happened.
Right.
Wednesday night, did my regular old shift, 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. to 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
That morning, I slept here. Mm-hmm. So Thursday morning, I slept here. We had our show from noon to 3.
Right.
And then we left.
Mm-hmm.
We had our grub. And then I had to come back 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. Thursday night into Friday morning
mm-hmm.
to do my regular shift. And then I had to stay for Mary Vandeveld's shift because I said I would.
For the morning show, yeah.
Because I said right. I would with Pete McMurray. And then I left at 9 a.m. And now I'm back again at 11 p.m. Friday.
So you're 3 hours away from a weekend, which is pretty exciting stuff.
Yes.
Happy Friday to everyone out there. I'm very proud of you, Esmeralda. We have great jobs. I mean, we can't complain.
Yeah,
this
I can't complain.
Stuff.
I'm just sitting in front of a microphone, so there's nothing for me
right.
to complain. I'm not digging ditches.
No.
I'm not outside on my feet all day.
I just want people to be proud of you. And I could not be more proud of you than when you turned to me just before we went on the air and said...
My hands smell like tacos.
But you...
I haven't had I had pozole.
Yeah.
Have you ever had pozole?
No, I don't know what that means.
So pozole is a soup. It can be either chicken-based.
Or...
Well, see, here's the thing. So there's beef or chicken-based.
Mm-hmm.
There's pork as well. And they give you accoutrements with your soup, which is onions, raw onions, some radishes, a little bit of lettuce.
So you were reaching into all those
things. So
yeah,
I was reaching into those, putting them into my soup.
Sense.
Oh, and a fried tortilla, a tostada.
So basically.
So essentially.
All the fixings of a taco.
Right. So the accoutrements of a taco. So now my hand smells like that.
Oh, that's wonderful. God, every show starts with figuring out what Esmeralda smells like.
It just sounds like I don't wash my hands ever.
And?
They just smell. Well, I haven't had cause to yet.
This is a radio program on WGN, a 50,000-watt station that goes over 38 states and Canada. 312-917-200. What do your hands smell like? Give us a text. Give us a call.
Well, you
text.
Know what? They might smell like turkey because you've been
a lot of turkey.
Ripping the turkey apart, trying to make lovely things as turkey pot pies, turkey soup, turkey tacos.
Yeah, a lot of turkey
stuff.
Turkey
shepherd pie.
For sure. So
turkey
give us
sandwiches.
You're giving them a lot of suggestions. How about the callers? Let us know what their hands smell like today. No, we got a fun show today for sure. We're going to be talking about zoo lights. Tonight was the opening of zoo lights at Lincoln Park Zoo. I got a lot of questions because I've done the zoo lights where you walk through and you see all the lights. It's gorgeous. It's a great way to get into the holiday spirit. I don't know how long they've done it for. They've got some special events too.
I'm curious, why would they, what was the thought process with
that? Yeah. I mean, it's a great little date night.
It's lovely. I've been over there. Yeah. They do like ice sculptures, which is fun to watch.
It's really cool. And man, you could not pick a better day for their opening day unless it was too windy. It was blowing the lights around. What a gorgeous day we were blessed with. I think we tied a record at 63 at O'Hare for the warmest Black Friday or this date in 100 and some years.
It's,
it was
nice slash little frightening.
Did you?
Little worrying.
Little, yeah. Well, you know,
it's
anytime
November.
We break one of those records. But, you know, we just tied the low a couple weeks ago, so I feel like that evens it out.
So, according to Google, 51 degrees right now.
51 right now at 11.
That's crazy.
12 in the evening.
I wasn't wearing a coat today. I just a hoodie
gorgeous.
And a jacket.
I played tennis along the lake, which with the 30-mile-an-hour winds out of the south made one side of the court way better than the other one.
Which side were you on?
Well, you switch off throughout the game.
Oh, okay.
But I did win in straight sets, so I appreciate that.
Good job. Did you wear the short shorts?
I didn't wear short shorts, but they were shorter than normal. I've got to represent my people at some point. If you're part of my community, at some point you have to wear short shorts. 708 says, my hands smell like soap and shampoo because I just got out of a shower heading to work. Oh, 708 heading to work on a Friday night. Let us know where you're going. We'll give you a shout out and where you're going. Chris says his hands do smell like turkey. I'm warming up leftovers.
Yeah, see?
With his hands, he's just kneading them. That's how he's
getting.
No microwave when you can knead that turkey.
You just warm it up with your hands.
217 says, Bahugna Kaluda. My hands smell like.
I don't know.
Boy, I messed that up.
Is that like a scent?
Yeah, I don't know. You're going to have to Google that one.
I'm scared to find out.
Yeah. Put the safe search on when you do that search.
But the turkey, smelling like turkey, you got to get in there to get all the bits and pieces off of that carcass.
I really got to give credit. We talked about Thanksgiving that I was going to my older brother's house.
Yeah, how was that?
It was, well, first of all, we hadn't eaten really before the show. Mm-hmm. We talked about food. I was so hungry when I got there. And God bless him, the food, of course, wasn't ready yet. And because he was making like six turkeys. He made practice ones Monday and Tuesday.
Practice ones.
He had a fried one, which he had injected with some garlic butter. I didn't know you injected turkeys with
things.
Oh,
yeah, you can do it.
Yeah. And then he had another turkey that he did in another deep fryer with a Cajun seasoning. It was really, really good stuff.
Had he never made turkeys that he had to make?
No, he made it. I think he's made them, but he just wanted to practice the deep frying methods.
Oh,
when I walked up to his house, there was the deep fryer out in the.
Oh, it was like the turkey smell.
Yeah.
By the way, Bagna Cauda is a dip made of garlic, anchovies, olive oil, and butter.
Oh my gosh! Yes, that is going to make your hands smell. So 312-981-7200. What do your hands smell like? We got to take a quick commercial break. We'll talk zoo lights and more hand smells here on 720 WGN. Hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around. We're too busy singing to put anybody down. 720 WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon filling in. Oh, you love this song.
I love the Monkees.
Yeah, you really
real
do.
Real ones and the band.
Well, that's a good transition, as we call it in the business here. We're going to be talking about zoo lights with the director of events, Joshua Rupp, over at the Lincoln Park Zoo. Joshua, thanks for joining us on this Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for inviting me, guys.
And it was a big night. How did everything go? Because it was opening night officially for the zoo lights.
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to ask me what my hands smell like.
Oh, well, that's a
Joshua, what do your hands smell
like? Yeah, Joshua, you're on WGN. What do your hands smell like?
Nah, they probably don't smell like anything interesting. Probably more like plastic and bulbs and stuff.
Oh, cool.
So how did everything go tonight?
You know, it went really good. Tonight was our opening night, like you guys were saying, and we had a lot of people. And you were talking about the weather and the traffic. I probably could have commented on both. I'm driving home, actually, right now from the opening night, and the weather was beautiful. I mean, you couldn't have asked for any better of weather. I mean, we were talking earlier with our staff after Zoo Lights kind of ended, and you know, I think this is one of the most beautiful nights of an opening night Zoo Lights. We've had it all. We've had blizzard snow. We've had raining, we've had it all, and this was just a really, really nice night for us.
Well, and that brings me to my question, Josh. How long has this been going on for?
So this is actually our 23rd year of Zoo Lights. So we started it a long, long time ago. You know, it started very small. It started as just something that we did for a couple weekends. A couple thousand people came out, and it was a good time. You know, this is just a time for the zoo to celebrate the season, bring families together, bring people out, you know, and it really evolved from this smaller event that we did to we now are, this is our longest running zoo light season this year. It's 35 days. We typically bring in about 550,000 people over that period. So it's a lot of people. And, you know, the coolest thing about it is you see the families, you see extended families, you see the mom and dad and the kids, but then you also see the date night. You see the couples that are coming,
for sure.
The younger people that are just spending their night. And, you know, it's just, to me, I've been at the zoo for 5 years. To me, the coolest thing about doing our events, specifically Zoo Lights, is that you look around and you see the effect that it has on people. And, you know, especially during this time when, you know, it's fun just to come to the zoo and forget about all the other stuff happening in the world, you know, and just see these amazing animals, see the amazing lights, and just have a good time with the people that you're surrounded with. I think that's one of the coolest parts.
Mm-hmm. You talk about lights. How many lights? Do you know how many there are?
We estimate about 2.5 million lights.
Wow.
Now that kind of changes every year, and this year it's
Go in and out, you know, like 2.4999 million every now and then when the one goes out. Yeah.
No, this isn't Christmas Vacation. One light, one bulb. You know, the strands have evolved very much over time.
Yes.
So one bulb goes out, it does not cut all of our strings. But this year we have a brand new attraction. It's called Light Maze. It's presented by PowerShares, QQQ, by Invesco. And this year, this light maze, it has 30,000 lights in it alone.
Wow.
You know, so that definitely ups that number, that 2.5 million light number that we have. And then on top of that, we also have a ton of LED rope lights, a ton of LED lights as well. So those you really can't include in a bulb count. So it definitely gets a little bit granular and grainy, but it's a big event. It's a big festival. It covers all of zoo grounds. From north to south, east to west, covers all the polar bears and everything. I mean, it's a very fun event.
Now, aside from walking through, seeing all these gorgeous lights and the animals, what else can you do there?
So we have cookie decorating.
Yes, I'm in.
Well, you guys, I didn't even get to the good stuff. Cookie decorate. I can just send you guys some cookies.
Nope.
And decorate all day.
You're going to say a bunch more stuff, but my brain is already off.
So, like I said, we have the light maze. We have a 65-foot Ferris wheel that takes you. This is our third year doing this Ferris wheel. It takes you, you know, 65 feet in the air, and you can kind of see all the lights from above, and then you can stare at the Navy Pier Ferris wheel and wave or give high fives, whatever you want to do up there. But,
wave at the fellow at the other people in the other Ferris
that's
wheel.
Right, because all those people are looking at us and saying, "Man, I wish I was at Zoo Lights tonight." But then we have a train. We have a Lionel train adventure, a carousel, which is always really fun to get on. And then, like I said, there's every year we try to add new and different elements of Zoo Lights, zoo-like lit pieces. So this year we have a brand new giant solar system. The sun is about 7 feet diameter across, and then we have all the rest of the planets spread out around our main mall area. We worked with a local company to design these really cool artistic lit-up flowers. That I got an idea of after visiting the Opryland Hotel down in Nashville. They were doing this really awesome Alice in Wonderland display, and they had these really cool, unique, artistic-driven flowers and all these unique displays. And I kind of took a whole bunch of pictures and emailed the people and said, "Hey, I appreciate your all's ideas. I'm bringing these back to Chicago."
That's awesome.
They were super supportive, and I found this local company called L3DFX. Based out of the suburbs, and they created these flowers for us, and those are beautiful to look at. So I think along with all the attractions, just being the people that come year after year, I think the magic for them is they see a lot of nostalgic pieces that they've seen for a really long time. And we do have pieces on grounds that we have updated over time, but you know, like the waving gingerbread, we've had those for 23 years. Some of the pieces we've had for a long time, but then every year we add new pieces. So I think going through those layers, I think, is what's really fun for people that get to come.
You mentioned date night. I had someone, when I said I was going to be talking to the Zoo Lights people, I've started dating, saying, "Get us tickets." And I'm really going to impress this person because we're just going to walk up and walk on in because it's free, right? Open and all. Not every single night. You have some special events, and we'll get to a few of those. But for the most part, it's come as you are.
It's free, man. And you know what? That's so funny because I've done that before with friends and say, "Yeah, I can get you to the zoo. Let's just go. I work here, so I'll just walk you. I'll walk you right in the door. No problem whatsoever. No questions asked." You know, they all know me by name. I don't have to wear my zoo uniform. Just walk right in the door. But no, it's fun. So you know, I oversee the events department. So myself and a team. This is definitely not a one person job. This is a lot of people who come together to put Zoo Lights on. Zoo Lights in particular is a very unique operation in itself. We kind of start planning it out in March, and then it starts going into action about August, late July, and then it all gets put up by November, and then it comes down about January, and then we just start the process all over again. But Zoo Lights, for 23 years, it's been free and open to the public. this is just one of the many ways that we can express to the people of Chicago and people visiting Chicago that, you know, we are a free institution, but we do amazing world-class conservation efforts. We have our keepers out every night of zoo lights, just talking about the animals, talking about the different things that go on at the zoo. So this is kind of the most magical and coolest part of my job, you know, doing events, is I do all these crazy out there events with our team, like beer festivals and wine festivals and breakfast events. But the cool thing is that we attract our people that come to the zoo because they have an interest in holiday stuff or zoo light stuff or beer or wine. But then once you come, you learn all about the zoo. You get entwined in the stuff that we do. And myself, you know, I don't come from a zoo background. I come from a music background, a live event production background. So myself coming in from that side and then like putting these events on and then throwing in the zoo layer is such a special process because it really teaches people about the conservation efforts that we do, about the wildlife efforts that we do. You know, we're one of three free institutions in the United States, us, St. Louis, and D.C. Mm-hmm. But we're the only institution that is privately funded. So all of the funds that we get from events, from our members, from all different kinds of efforts, they go to the zoo to keep us free, to keep us open. We're open 365 days a year. I mean, it is an incredible feat, and it's a very special organization.
Josh, before we let you go, we'll talk about the Brew Lights in 1 second because that's the one that I've definitely highlighted on my calendar. You said your background's in music. What instrument do you play?
So I sing in a band. My mom is listening right now, so I can say hi to my family out in Kentucky. But
what was the name of the band? Come on, I always love asking what people's band's name were.
The band was called Daybreak.
Daybreak. What did you guys specialize in? What was your kind of music?
It was rock music, you know, and we had a great time. They actually wanted to carry on, make it full time, and I wanted to go to school and get my degree and do all the grown-up stuff. But they carried on. They're Artifacts Pareo right now, signed out of Tooth and Nail Records out of Seattle.
Oh, cool.
Good
for them.
They're carrying on, and they're great people, and it was fun while it lasted. But it led me to great things with the zoo and with other stuff that I do, and, you know, and it's fun. So, like, the special events, like you were mentioning, Brew Lights takes place on the 7th of December, but even next week. So I think you guys were talking earlier about Cyber Monday. And Black Friday, obviously, today. But one little thing that not a lot of people know of is Giving Tuesday, which is a lot of nonprofits open the doors to do Giving Tuesday. So Giving Tuesday, last year, we started doing a holiday market. So holiday market happens on Tuesday next week. It's a chance for us to bring out 62 different local vendors from around Chicago and some of the suburbs. And they come out and they have their booth set up across the zoo. It's a $10 entry. It's a Giving Tuesday holiday market at Lincoln Park Zoo. And it's a really fun event. It's, again, something that raises money for the zoo, but lets you experience all these great vendors that, are bringing in really unique things. And the really cool thing about holiday market is about 10% of those vendors are actual zoo staff employees who have side projects that they do. One of our facilities managers makes these really steampunk clocks out of recycled material. And they're the coolest clocks that you could ever find. You'd never know his talent unless you saw him at one of these art and craft fairs. So that's a fun event on the 28th. And then 30th, there's an adults night out, holidays. It features a gnome hunt. So we have gnomes spread out around the ground.
Real ones?
not real ones. If you can find me a real gnome, we will put it in there and put WGN all over it.
Oh, that's a challenge.
But then we have Brew Lights the following week on the 7th, too. So all those events you can find at lpzoo.org and get all the information about them. They're a lot of fun, and they sell out in advance, so make sure you get your tickets soon.
Josh, you're awesome, and you did a really good job transitioning from Daybreak to talking back about Lincoln Park Zoo.
We're
gotta
close to Daybreak right now.
We're getting there. We'll get there soon enough. I love how you also say that they're carrying on without you. It sounds like they're doing a lot better ever since you left the group.
Oh,
I just got to say, Joshua.
Snap.
They probably are, man. They probably are, you know. And they haven't bothered. They haven't hit me up for a gig at the zoo yet, which I'm very surprised at.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's too small scale now for him. Yeah. Hey, Joshua, thank you so much. I'm glad things went really well tonight and the weather cooperated. We really appreciate it. LPZoo.org. Josh, thanks for your time and say hi to mom again.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
love you. Both WGN, so I appreciate it.
Of course. Anytime. Take it easy, okay?
Thanks.
All right. We are asking more people what their hands smell like. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Quick break here at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, what do your hands smell like? 708 says alcohol. I just
rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, I just used hand sanitizers trucking through Madison, Wisconsin. Got to keep those hands clean.
We have some clean listeners.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything terrible yet.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, that one dip that's like anchovy, garlic,
oh, yeah,
butter. I mean, I'm on board, but, you know, my hands smell like tacos. So.
Right. Yeah. And someone let us know the person that they were working there going on their way to an overnight shift at the in Rosemont. And they have the trees decorated with colorful lights. Beautiful.
Ooh.
So everyone, smell your hands. Text us 312-917-200. You never know. This conversation could last us for some time. 720 WGN. Getting it in the nick of time, Tom Hush. Not much longer. You can play this song. Gotta love The Cure. Friday, I am in love with you. Happy Friday evening, everyone. 312-917-200. We want you to join the conversation. Esmeralda, remind the listeners what your hands smell
tacos.
Like.
Tacos. Well, taco accoutrements.
Taco accoutrements. So we want to know what your hands smell like. I don't know how we got on. Well, I know how we got on it. I don't know when how we'll get off. 630 says, my hands smell like fish. Tuna, to be exact.
Oh, what?
I'm assuming you were.
Please be it a tuna sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really know. Yeah,
tuna casserole.
Tuna casserole, perhaps. So let us know. We're asking you. Okay, one other thing we want people to chime in on, and this is a story out of Motherboard, which is, I think, a Vice column or mm-hmm. Vice like sub-site. Disruption-y tech companies, like companies that change things up, like Uber and Twitter, of course, they're a big part of the discourse of our daily lives. Things have certainly changed over the last 10 or 15 years. But if you think about it, Uber still doesn't make a profit yet.
Really?
Nope. Oh, no. They're still billions of dollars in debt. Millions.
Well,
hundreds of millions of dollars in debt.
I think they're not going to make it either because people are using Lyft.
Yeah, Lyft.
More.
But I don't think Lyft has turned a profit. I don't know. I don't know if Lyft has made a profit yet. Twitter, still not making money. Snapchat doesn't make money.
I don't understand how that makes money.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
ads?
They get a lot of investments. And they will make it on ads. That's these companies that get huge amounts of investments but are spending so much capital right now, they're doing it in the hopes of future earnings, of course, like any company that starts. But there is one non-groundbreaking technology, something we've had in the world for a long, long time, that has no problems making money year after year. It's payphones.
What?
Payphones still make millions of dollars. 312-981-7200. Let us know via text or via call in when the last time you used a payphone was. And bonus points if you go to the nearest payphone and call us. I would love to hear someone call from a payphone and let me know where it's from.
I don't know how we could prove it. Can you push the buttons?
Yeah.
And they'll make a will they make a different noise?
Maybe. Than your cell phone? Probably.
Right.
We'll do
or
a button test.
Landline.
We'll do a button test. We won't know if that actually works.
See. Find one, guys.
Find a payphone. We'll hear like the gas station behind you or wherever you're calling from a payphone. Because honestly, I don't know where payphones are. Maybe they've just become so blended into what we are used to seeing that they're there. But I mean,
I know of there's some on the CTA.
Like on the trains? Or no,
no,
in the
on
stations.
The platforms.
Do they work?
No. I don't know. I'm scared to touch them.
Because a lot of payphones don't work anymore. But so, of course, most people these days, I shouldn't say everyone, has cell phones. So you may wonder who uses those rusted quarter-eating boxes. This is Motherboard's words. As it turns out, a lot of people do. And this is according to Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications. So this is a report over Canada, but I can't imagine it's that different for the United States.
So the Canucks still have a lot of payphones.
Payphones in Canada made $22 million, which isn't a lot over the whole country. That's spread out over nearly 60,000 payphones in the country, which made roughly $300 per phone over the course of a year. So that's about $1 a day. So what?
That's
four
bad.
Calls.
Yeah.
Four calls out of a payphone. We'll probably get some texts. I imagine that people that are incarcerated still use payphones.
Oh, right.
Which makes total sense. And,
do they? Or do they just, is it a
Well, they don't use
phone,
their cell phones.
Or is it just a phone that's...
Well, they have the phone to talk through the glass to their visitors.
Right. No, but I mean, are they still payphones, or is it just a phone that then they can't dial out?
I don't know. So when was the last time you used a payphone? And you get bonus points if you called from a payphone. Pretty recently, says Andy. Andy, you're on WGN.
Hi.
When was the last time you used a payphone, Andy?
It was about a month ago.
What the heck did you use a payphone a month ago for?
Well, my phone was messing up on me, and I called my service, and they said I had to call them from a separate phone, and I didn't have one available. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, I'll go to the jail. They've got to have one there.
Wait a minute.
You weren't in jail already, right?
No, I wasn't in jail. I went down there because I thought you have to have a payphone there to be able, when you get out of jail, to be able to call for, you know, help or a ride or something.
Uh-huh.
And they had one?
No.
What? So that answers our, you just answered our last question too, which is great. Okay. Yeah.
All right, now wait, can I ask, where was it?
The bus station.
Oh, so that's where you found the payphone.
Where was, but can I, where exactly was it?
Yeah, what town?
Rockford, Illinois.
Rockford, Illinois. Interesting.
I would oddly believe that Rockford still has payphones.
We don't even have payphones at our airport.
Really?
No.
Well, maybe Rockford doesn't. Maybe O'Hare still has a couple. I don't really know. So did it all work out? Did you have enough? Did you have coinage for it?
I didn't have. It was a free call.
Oh.
What? Oh, because you were calling your service?
Yeah, it was an 800 number.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, okay. For a second, I was like, all payphones are free.
Andy, I don't know if anyone's going to beat you for a month ago. Maybe they will. I could be wrong, but I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling into 720 WGN. 312-91-7200. We're trying to find out when the last time you used a payphone
was.
When
was the last time you used
one? I honestly am trying to think, and I cannot fathom. You know, when I'm still of the age that we didn't have cell phones as kids. We didn't have cell phones in high school. I think we started to. I got one in college, I know. Maybe I had one at the end of high school. I don't know.
I had one towards the end, but I never used it.
It was never allowed in the school.
Exactly.
You were never allowed to bring it out. So what we used to do, if I had extracurricular activities, in order to get my parents to come pick me up, we would use the payphone, but we wouldn't pay for it. What we would do is call 1-800-COLLECT.
Right.
And when they said, what's your name? I'd say, Mom and Dad, please pick me up from school. So then they would call it home, and my parents would listen. They'd be like, you have a call from Mom and Dad picked me up from school. And then we just knew that was the code to come get me.
Look at you getting around it.
But I can't
remember when that was the big thing, 1-800-COLL-COLLECT?
Yeah.
The number, and there was ads, and there was like, do it, COLL-COLLECT, it's cheaper than the other way.
Remember all the 1010, 312s, 1010 numbers that you called to? Not from payphones, but from landlines as well. There was like that big blitz of commercials where it gave you lower rates. It bypassed your carrier or something like that.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I love payphones. I'm actually quite sad that payphones aren't as prevalent as they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, your phone dies. Your phone.
Yeah.
My phone is always dying.
That happens.
And I don't carry around I don't carry around my charger.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you ask someone to use their cell phone, because I wouldn't do it. People give you crazy looks,
mm-hmm.
and then don't want to.
No, they don't want
to use your phone. Because I wouldn't do it. I'd be like,
my first question was,
I wondered
if Carm had used it last night. When is
right? Well, he was at a gas station.
When he was carjacked.
So
yeah,
they would have.
Someone 815 texted in. I have a payphone about a block away. If I walk there, what do I get? I'll have to ask Tom Hush. She's answering phone calls right now. If we can give away
a
prize,
we'll see if we get something.
We'll get a prize. It's by the train station. They want to know what kind of weed we're smoking. None. We're on the radio.
None.
We don't partake in that
You're
while
having
on
some
the radio.
Coffee.
312 says payphones in prisons generate a lot of money for prisons. They're all collect calls that family are forced to accept. I don't know. All that stuff.
That's kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm. There's a place, this comes from 608. There's a place in Madison, Wisconsin, and that has payphones for a quarter a call. You can call anywhere in a local number for 25 cents. Toll-free numbers are free, okay.
Now, I wonder how that works in the sense that there's so many. Like, what's a local call nowadays?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's saying that they charge you more for longer calls.
Right.
Appreciate the text coming in.
I just mean in the sense, like, 312 is not everything Chicago anymore.
No, 773, 708, 630.
There's those crazy zip codes now, 784s or whatever, because we've run out of.
There's 784?
There's something like that. I forget what it is. It's because we've run out of phone numbers for people under the zip codes or under the area codes.
So we had Andy who called in as a month ago, last time he used a payphone. See if you can beat him. See if you can call from a payphone. We'll have more on 720 WGN. Kinda busy. 720 WGN. We're talking payphones. They still make millions of dollars in an era of some of the big companies, Twitter, Uber. They're still losing money.
Yeah.
But payphones are still raking it in. So we wanted to know if you could call from a payphone. And if you do call from a payphone, We're going to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, 312-91-7200. We don't quite know how we're going to test if you're at a payphone.
Yeah,
you'll have to tell us where you are.
There's something we can do.
Hit the buttons or something. Or
it's got to sound different.
Make someone pass by and say, yes,
yes,
confirm.
This crazy person is on a cell phone.
Before we get to Jim's bizarre payphone story, which I cannot wait to get to just because I can't imagine what it is, we're also wondering what your hands smell like because... Esmeralda smells like tacos.
I love that we're keeping this going.
Why not? Jay in Ohio says, is my fingers smell like peanuts?
Oh,
that sounds
boy.
Good, yeah, because if you dive into those peanuts, you keep going pretty soon. You got to lick them clean.
Yeah. No and need for napkins.
No need for napkins when you're eating peanuts. All right, Jim. Jim, you've piqued my interest here. What is your bizarre payphone story?
About a year ago, got into town from Portland. My phone was dead. I didn't have any change. Call collect to my house to have somebody come and pick me up at the airport while I'm sitting there talking on the phone. People are walking by, but they're like gawking and looking. And I'm thinking, what are they looking at? Why do they keep looking at? I'm thinking they're looking at me. I'm checking it out. And I said, wow. Check my zipper to make sure my zipper was up. Everything was cool. And I hang up. They're going to pick me up. I hang the phone up and I turn around and two phones over from me. Danny DeVito was on the phone.
Wait, what?
Danny DeVito on a payphone?
Yes. I swear. My phone was dead, and I couldn't take a selfie, and I don't know why. I didn't want to bother him and ask him why he was on the phone, but that I thought everybody was looking at me, but it wasn't me. It was Danny DeVito, and he was on two phones over him, but they have payphones there, and I didn't have the money. I called the house collect.
Yeah, you got
to
do that.
Collect.
All right, Jim, that was...
You should have asked Danny DeVito for a quarter.
Yeah. He's still making in money.
Sure.
They probably show those Batman Returns
reruns.
Sure,
he had a whole roll of them if he's on the phone.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
I got to know who Danny DeVito was calling. Was this at O'Hare, Jim?
Pardon? Yes. Yes, it was.
Okay. All right, well, that's an awesome story.
Early in the morning. It was like about 6 o'clock in the morning. I had a red eye in Chicago from Portland. I don't know where he was from or where he was going, but... right there. It's like, wow. Danny DeVito.
I'm going to have to figure that one out. Hey, Jim, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. I appreciate that. 312-981-7200. Yeah, but I mean, payphones still making $22 million. I imagine there's other old technologies out there that we've thought are dead and gone that are still doing okay. I'm trying to think of something that comes to mind.
I'm trying to think if there's anything public that we...
I don't know.
Cigarette machines. I've seen them. They still exist.
Yeah, and vending machines obviously still exist. Probably not as much because there's corner stores
everywhere.
Yeah, they're
kind of the worst now because you get to use credit cards and stuff.
That's the best. Why,
yeah,
like
but
that?
I think they charge you more.
Oh, I'm sure.
To use the credit card.
Yeah. Tom and Marengo wants to know if we're going to pay back whoever is stupid enough to call us from a payphone. No, not in coinage, but we will pay you back in pizza, which is the best way to be paid back. Yeah, because someone was saying they lived across from a train station that had one.
Well, go on over if you want a pizza.
Right. Scott says he's going to call us, 815, so we'll know it's Scott from a different number.
Oh, I like this.
Oh.
708, Carol, you could always have them take a picture with their cell phone while they're on the payphone for verification.
That's
Why
a
didn't
good
we
idea.
Think of that?
That's a good idea.
All right.
Hey, Scott, if you're really walking over there, bring your cell phone, take a selfie.
You know what I wish that we had
wish?
With the payphones?
What?
The payphone booths.
Yeah.
I love a payphone booth.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah,
I mean, it might be a little stinky because people probably get in there.
But right, but it's more private.
Yeah, it's. I just like to be, it's like you're in a cocoon.
A payphone cocoon.
Yeah.
What do you come out
as? And where does Superman run out
of? Yeah, really? What is he doing?
I went to go see the Justice movies.
Mm-hmm.
And
Justice League, I think it's
called.
Yeah,
yeah. And I think they show him at one point doing that, just ripping his shirt open, and he's got the Superman. I'm like, where does he leave the clothes? And where does he do it? Is he just doing it because everyone's like, oh, look, there goes Superman.
Yeah, the payphone was essential.
Right?
Part
he always
of his,
went in.
His transformation.
Changed. And
where could you go now? If I'm Superman, I'm Michigan Avenue, I'd drop down to Lower Wacker, I guess. That'd be the stairs are right here.
I guess he could kind of hide in the bus shelters.
Yeah, but the bus shelters, they're not enclosed all the way.
I mean, I don't think he's in there, like, taking his pants off one at a time.
Well, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about his cover being blown.
Oh, right.
Because someone who's getting on the Michigan Avenue bus
That's
is going to see
true.
Him, and then they'll just, you know, they'll take a selfie. They'll be like, they'll take a Vine. Or the Vine's not around anymore. They'll take an Instagram story of Superman at the bus shelter,
right.
And that'll ruin his whole thing.
And then take his pants, and I'm sure his wallet's in there.
There's no porta potties around here. That'd be disgusting. No. That's not a great way to start.
Well, they have that in other countries.
What's that?
In Europe, mainly.
What's that?
Public bathrooms.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen that, yeah. Like there's some in Iceland.
Standalone. Yeah, I saw Reykjavik. One. I didn't go in, but...
Apparently, 630 says that Superman has a pouch in his cape for his clothes.
What?
Like a fanny pack?
That seems like it would be cumbersome.
That does seem like it'd be cumbersome.
Just a big, just kind of like...
Big old pouch?
Bulk.
Yeah. That doesn't seem aerodynamic.
Right?
If he's flying, he's trying to get as little drag as possible.
He's got
fanny
like a kangaroo
pack.
Pouch in the cape?
Yeah. He could keep other things, his cell phone in there, his wallet, his keys. Where does he keep all that stuff?
Yeah, where does he... I mean, I guess he could just laser the lock off his door.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that every single time you come home.
Yeah, that'd get expensive.
That gets really old. That gets really expensive. 312-981-7200. Still waiting for our first caller from a payphone.
Yeah,
if
on,
you
guys.
Do, you're going to win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. $25 value. Lou Malnati's, the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. Andy was our most recent payphone caller a month ago. Maybe someone remembers the last time, and it was like 20 years ago. And this reminds me of the payphone discussion of if you listen to the podcast Serial. Did anyone listen to that?
No.
One of the clues or one of the cruxes of this case was whether there was a payphone in a Best Buy and who used it when, and it was
right.
Key to solving the murder.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the things of the murder.
Because it gets tracked.
Right, right. And also they were like, I remember using a payphone, but then there was there even a payphone there?
It
was basically ruining someone's story.
Oh, boy.
Clearly, I don't remember all the details.
Which, now again, I'm like, how does that work when people were calling in payphones and they're like, I'm calling from payphone, so you can't find me. It's like, mm-hmm. No, we can.
Now you can. It's all tracked.
We know where it is.
We have a picture text from the 309. This is my neighbor's yard ornament, and it is a phone booth, a full phone booth, but it isn't hooked up to service.
That's cute.
So I want to know, is that actually, so that's just something this neighbor has in their yard?
I would imagine people would hide in there.
Yeah, put a little drink in there or something, make a little bar.
I wonder if the door is locked.
I don't know.
Like, can people walk, can you walk in? 309, can people walk in?
Yeah. Again, we got on this conversation because payphones still make millions of dollars somehow, some way. I mean, when you have so many of them across the country. And
right.
You and I were talking, it'd be great if there was a way to figure out where the nearest payphone was. My suggestion was an app, but we immediately realized the absurdity of that in that if you have an app, a phone that can download an app, then
why
you probably
do you
need
the
payphone.
Yeah.
But you'd want to know where you might have it, you know, in an emergency. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to hear, hopefully get someone on a payphone, get them some Lou Malnati's on 720 WGN. Talking about payphones, and we're looking for someone to call us from a payphone.
Yes.
And we've got Scott on the line. Scott, are you calling from a payphone?
I am.
It sounds like a payphone. Where are you at, Scott?
I am in downtown Crystal Lake right now at the train station.
And Tom Hush, our producer, is rocking his fist in the air. Tom, you can confirm that this is a payphone that you are aware of.
Yeah, I can confirm it. I am from Crystal Lake. I know exactly the payphone where he's at that train station, so he is legit.
Scott, did you use coins to call?
I did. It cost me 50 cents to be exact.
How much time do you have?
I don't know.
I'm sure it'll tell you.
I don't mean in general, Scott, how much time you have in life.
Please
I just
deposit 50 cents.
To be honest, I don't know how much time is on the phone.
I got to say, I don't think this payphone's going to work for another week. It sounds like it doesn't
line
sound that
is
great.
Not good.
That line, I thought the payphone would sound crystal clear.
Right? We start making all our guests call from payphones.
It's very windy here right now, and I'm attached to a cord, so I can't like go around the corner and with the payphone, you know?
Well, you've got all the time in the world, Scott, you say. Not too much more time on the phone, but we're going to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati is the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. Scott, thanks so much for the call. Are you still there?
I sure am. Thank you so much.
Yeah, enjoy that. We'll probably like five more minutes
please
left before
deposit
the lady.
25 cents.
That could have been the way
for the next
to
minute.
Certainly figure it out. Well, congratulations to Scott. You heard the tone. That means it is midnight. We have gone from Friday to Saturday. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. 720 WGN. Those are the dulcet tones of one Paul Harris. Hi, Paul. How you doing today? Let me turn on your microphone. How's everything going?
It's all going great. How's it going with you guys?
Good. And
Very good.
Yeah, it's so nice to have you back on the show again. Things are good in your land. What were we just hearing, by the way, in case people were...
That was the song Down in the Moor off the album A Lost Thread Finds Itself.
You
90% sure.
Which is funny because A Lost Thread Finds Itself was exactly what just happened.
Pretty much.
In your head just there trying to find the name of your own album, which is funny. But you've had a long day. You've been working tonight.
I have.
What's your? You do a Friday night gig, right?
Yeah, every Friday I'm at Gino's Pizza on LaSalle.
Cool.
And I play mostly covers for people eating. And then there's a comedy show where I sit on stage awkwardly while they tell jokes. And I play like 3 seconds of music.
Well, like,
oh,
as
like
an
little
interludes?
Walk on?
As interludes, yeah, but it takes them like 2 seconds to get on.
Is it an improv show or is
it's stand up?
Stand up.
So if the audience is like not with it, then usually I become the butt of the jokes, which is actually pretty fun.
Yeah, and I bet the comedian appreciates having help in case anything happens up there. Why didn't you bring us pizza?
I could have, but I missed the mark for the kitchen closed.
Whatever.
Oh, Paul.
My bad.
You're killing me. I'm hungry again.
Oh, my bad, guys.
We've been talking about pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you.
Paul, you not only have Gino's, you can go see him every Friday night, but you got a big event tomorrow too, right?
That's right. I'll be playing Wicker Park's Chill Fest.
That's cool. Tell us about Chill Fest.
So Chill Fest is a cool little, I think it's described as a pop-up festival,
mm-hmm.
but there's going to be musicians all throughout Wicker Park playing in like the local little businesses for... Oh, man, I forgot the buzzword. But basically, it's shop local. That's the point.
Oh, yeah.
Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday. Thank you. And, be people all throughout from about 2 p.m. till 8-ish.
Very cool. Where will you be?
I will be at David's Tea at 3:30 p.m.
Oh, cool. Mm. That's a nice place. So, Paul, for people that weren't listening the last time we chatted with you, tell us a little bit about your background.
I'm super interesting and cool.
Well, that settles it. We're done.
Yep. Thanks for coming in.
Who says that?
And actually, 630 just texted that they work at Gino's and that you rule. So,
oh, thank you.
Do you want to know who it is?
I do.
Are you single, Paul?
I am.
All right. So,
well, 630.
630. If you're a lady or a dude, I guess I shouldn't assume. Give us a call or a text and let us know. Because Paul's looking
we might be doing a meet cute.
Oh, that'd be fun. So you got a newer album out, right? You've been working on?
Yes.
Tell us about it. Tell us about that process for when you kind of start from scratch with nothing and how you build an album, really.
I mean, I'm sure other people work much harder, but I basically have a bunch of neurotic tendencies,
mm-hmm.
write about them in like one explosive bout, and then record them as quickly as I can before I get all self-doubty.
Right.
Did you always do that? Write a song, or were you doing other things, poetry?
I've always written songs, like since I was 8. They were terrible for the first 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have any of them? Like the 8-year-old ones?
I don't. I have the first. I know the first song I ever wrote. Oh. I wrote it when I was 4.
Oh my gosh!
What?
Can we hear it?
It's terrible.
We don't.
As long as there's no swear words, we're fine. Yeah.
I don't think I knew any, but basically the gist of it is I just strummed an open guitar because I had no hand-eye coordination and sang soccer, soccer. Please don't make me play soccer.
That was a cry for help.
It truly was. And how much longer did you play soccer for?
I ended up playing soccer till I was 18.
Wow.
Well, that song didn't work.
It didn't, and I felt the same throughout.
The whole time?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Never that into it.
Did your parents
but 18.
Make you do it, or did you play in high school? Were you good at it?
Yeah, basically. We moved around a bunch, and soccer was like the sport that's played everywhere. So it was an easy social thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then I became decent at it.
A curse.
It was a curse. I went to college for soccer originally, but then I found out that they couldn't take away the scholarship if I didn't play because it was an academic one.
Mm-hmm.
Once I learned that, being the diligent guy I am.
You were like, I'm gone.
I'm out.
So you got a scholarship to play soccer and then didn't play.
Yep. Like a winner.
So you finally did it. Some 14 years later,
you finally got your revenge.
That's
and
right.
Then you got money off of college to not do it.
Definitely ethical.
Yeah. Which college did you go to?
That was Albion College.
Okay.
I was there a year.
Okay. Well, you didn't last a little too long there. So
didn't. Didn't last too long at a few colleges.
Really? How many did you go to?
I ended up at 3. So I did Albion for a year, mm-hmm. then left because it was boring. Unless mm-hmm. you went there, in which case go Britons, I think.
Okay.
And then I went to Columbia College here.
Okay. Good.
For a few months. And then I dropped out.
Okay. It's okay.
I mean, I'm fine with it. Yeah. I think it worked out. And I did a bunch of stuff, and then eventually I went to Loyola.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you? Did you finish there? Or?
I did last year.
Oh, congratulations! Thank nice
you.
Work.
What'd you study?
Communications.
Yeah, communications.
Yeah. Okay, I was a college. We did of communications. Yeah, for sure.
Were you the real one though?
College of Media. Yeah, I think it was Media and Communications. It's changed names a few times. So you write things down quickly, you record quickly before self-doubt comes in. I think that's something that a lot of artists struggle with. I think we do too here. We have an idea and we think it's going to be great, and you just do it the quicker you can. And like when I come up with crazy ideas for the morning show that I'm on, The Jam on WCIU, the longer it happens, the longer I sit through. Like I'll sit through the night before and like run it through my head. And the more I think about it, the worse off I feel like it's going to go and that it will bomb. So it's just nice to be able to like record it, done, and then it's
Let
gone.
Let other people decide how they feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we usually seem to like it. Do you have your guitar here?
I do.
Do you want to get, well, what we'll do is we'll take a quick commercial break, and then do you want to come in with some music after that?
I would love to.
All right, we're going
to
hear some live music in the studio in just a few minutes here on 720 WGN.
I opened the newspaper. No, I didn't. I clicked on a link, then I read half the headline, and the italics under it said, studies show, anything you want those studies to show. But I'd already placed my cursor on a thumbnail that promised 5 things I never knew about something I'd soon forget, and I disappeared down a rabbit hole of quick fixes and sponsored content. I was 25, I was trying to finish. My friends, they met their ends, or they found jobs, or they had disappointing children. And they smiled in close-up photos of themselves and the places they had traveled to prove they were there, as if I wouldn't believe them, or as if I actually cared. I'm sure I actually care. I actually care, but I found myself unfazed by meticulous records kept of different angles in the same face, and a life so heavily curated and cropped before conveyed results in no insight, no sunlight brought back into my cave. But I bailed, I wept, I failed, I left, man, I wrecked my engine, I forced to disconnect, I fell face first in a pile of crane necks and Mr. X. And I know I'm tired, and I'm tiresome, and I'm trying with half a heart to end my sentence before your questions start. I was an accomplice, man, I was just a patsy. I was no one's first choice, I'm pretty sure that's why they asked me. Pretty sure that's why they asked me. It's like that, but good. I was too bored and cash poor, and what's more, morally bankrupt. I was swinging borrowed hatchets of what were clearly two thick tree trunks, trying to look busy, trying to seem interesting, trying to be a company man, a good investment, but nobody bought me.
Yay!
Yay! That was so good! Paul, your voice is awesome. You're... Strumming is great. Yeah. I don't think that's what they is that what they
strumming,
call
strumming. Yeah,
it's great strumming. It's not picking? Easy to do the picking,
guitar picking.
And you made us LOL in song, which is not an easy thing to do. I mean, that must be tough, especially the way that started out. Tell us a little bit about that song, inspiration, and what it's all about.
So that song is called "That Dog Won't Hunt, But That Cat Will Play Piano," and it's just. I think I wrote it while working on like term papers and whatnot. Like, oh God, this is pointless. everything I'm learning, you could just look up. And then I was thinking about social media and how everyone's got wonderful lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love to see just outside the frame. You know, right. for everyone's like Snapchats and Instagrams. I just love to see 5 feet away.
What else is happening? Yeah.
Because if it's anything like mine, it's just the pile of all the things I moved.
Right.
To look
right.
cool.
To look cool.
Yeah.
Emotionally and physically, I imagine.
Someone's posing, there's a house on fire next to them. You know.
Yeah.
I also like the line when you say, like, I care, but then you do care.
I totally care.
Right.
But I also really want to make it seem like I kind of don't care.
Right, of course. We all play that game. We all fight.
Aloof.
We got to ask, because you played that, you played tonight at Geno's East, you also have a giant swelling on your...
I do.
It's gone way down, but what the heck happened?
So that was my Thanksgiving. It was pretty fun. staying in the guest room of some friend's house in Detroit or outside of Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and something bit me in the middle of the night. It bit me about seven times. Well, exactly seven times.
Oh, my gosh.
Very hungrily up in the forearm, and then I think it was just eating to eat at the
It was Thanksgiving, so, you know.
It's part of the tradition.
He was stuffing himself.
And then, did they ever tell you what it was?
They couldn't figure it out. They were mad at me, though. Being a really smart person, I decided it was nothing. And then I ran and ran a 5K, which you shouldn't do when you've got, like, venom in you.
All of this yesterday.
This is yesterday. So I went to the hospital because it was, like, getting weird.
How big are you talking? I mean, you're kind of showing us here, but if you describe it on the radio.
So when I went to the hospital twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
First time I went, it was, like, a sort of 1.5 times its normal size.
Okay.
And then he's
looking at his left forearm, by the way, folks.
Yeah. Was this before or after the running?
This was after the running.
Okay.
It just had some time for the blood to pump and get gross.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like starting to look bad, and I thought, I'll nip this in the bud. Went to talk to them, and they're like, it's probably nothing. Come back if it gets worse. Here's your bill. and then 2 hours later, while like eating dinner, started to get quite woozy, and my arm, like lifted up the sleeve, my arm had ballooned out to like an improbable size. And then all of the bites were... I mean, no one's still eating. It was gross. I'll just say that for sure. There's lots of gross stuff happening on my arm. So I went back and they're like, oh, yeah, we are bad.
this is like 28 hours
Here's
ago.
Here's your bill. Here's your bill again.
And then they put an IV in and they pumped me full of all sorts of stuff, which made me very loopy. It was great.
Did you write a song while you were
I couldn't
loopy?
Even like get words out. They like asking questions. I was like, what's happening? I got some stuff for the week, and they like they can't figure out what it is.
Do they know like possibilities?
They were mostly sure it wasn't a brown recluse.
Okay, that's good because those
are pretty nasty.
They will kill you. I think
it was like if you've got the wrong allergy,
that's Merelda.
Why?
They're like
he's
the
fine.
Only as far as I could be dying now, but you know what? I've had a good run.
Hey, if you, yeah, I mean,
well, the last
here,
things you do, yeah, the go. Last things you do, yeah. Hang out with us.
You got another song that you can you play first? You want to wait a little bit longer? You waiting for the venom to?
Yeah,
for
I
your
need
arm
this
to stop swelling.
Go back to stop itching.
so I'm just amazed you didn't call off work. I mean,
yeah, I thought about it, but the problem with being like a musician is pretty much anyone can do your job. So
hey.
I didn't want someone to come in and be really good. Like about a half hour before I was supposed to play, it was acting up again, and I briefly considered.
Yeah.
And I talked to a pharmacist. He's like, just take a bunch of Benadryl.
Oh, my gosh.
We know that game.
Yeah.
Say yes to every opportunity you get.
Right.
Everyone,
unless you physically can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you absolutely
And even
cannot.
Then, I've come in when I have barely a voice, and I'm like,
right.
I'm the
mm-hmm. Yeah. I was not
someone
gonna
has
miss
to,
it.
Yeah. Someone has to tell you, like, you need to go home now.
We're not. Oh, go ahead. That's
I was going to say, I was going to plug where you're going to be tomorrow with your big monstrous elephant arm.
don't even go for the music. Yeah. Go to see just how big will. Yeah.
How swollen cool. his arm will be.
I might be Spider-Man by tomorrow.
Oh, there we go.
Actually, this brings up an interesting question. What do your hands smell like? That's how we started it. Is it pizza?
Yeah.
Is it Geno's?
It smells like soap. Because I'm a clean fellow.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
Very
I'm
good,
the only one who
good.
Doesn't wash my hands. Cool. David's Tea, by the way, tomorrow, right? 1645
yes.
North Damon for Chill Fest. A bunch of stuff all over the place. I saw a couple of places are very cool in that area. One's that Secret Agent
mm-hmm.
company. Have you ever been there?
I have not.
It's a charity for reading.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so bad at plugging things. But anyway, but it's
great,
a really
guys.
Cute, but you know, it's another incentive to go out to the Chill Fest to Wicker Park because they have, it's like the Secret Agent Society or something. And it's a mm-hmm. cutesy thing where they just have like little cutesy
stuff they do.
Yeah, little cutesy knickknacks, trinkets, and things, trinkets, and funny stuff you can buy for Christmas and all that stuff.
Where can people find your music in general?
You can find it at paulharris.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
And soundcloud.com/Paul. It's hard when your name is Paul Harris.
Because there's a lot of...
All the URLs are taken.
Yeah, I imagine. We'll post those on the Facebook pages, which is great. Okay, can you stick around for a little bit longer, play another song or two?
I would love to.
Okay, cool. That'd be great. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Then Roger will have the news here on 720 WGN, 1230. John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon filling in for Patty Vasquez pretty late. And Patty, Esmeralda, you're like living out your fears here, talking about Paul stuff. Yeah,
this is exactly what... Anytime I get a bug bite...
Right.
It could be a mosquito, and I immediately think it's something else.
Right. It's going to make your arm grow three times the size.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have more music and more talking about disgusting things with Paul in just a little bit.
Underneath an awning, autumn rain was falling. You were lost in thought and stalling and waiting for the rain to slow. I was drinking coffee in lieu of things that I tried stopping, and it wasn't really working. Then I saw you through the window. The sight of you consumed me, engulfed and then exhumed me. This is not a trick of the eye or mind, not that I would know. All this before we've spoken, I swear my heart is broken, but it's yours from here on out. It's yours from here on out. I will be your shadow. I will love you madly. And if I can make you smile, I'll just have to make you happy. Underneath your fine form, an omen kept in mind for a moment, stopped in time. Storms of summer drench our clothes. We're rolling in the rain, and I think our differences were plain. You came up clean, and I was drowning atop an unpaved road. You pulled me close and kissed me, whispered in an ear you'd miss me. If and when I met my match, 'cause just a scratch and I'd explode. I was mostly sober, though there's no way of knowing. All that lack of input kinda feels worse than having it overdone. Pull me close, she says, I will be your downfall. I will treat you badly. And if I can't make you leave me, then I'll just have to make you angry. I took it as a joke, but I take everything as a joke. I took it as a joke, but I take everything as a joke. I didn't really know, but I was willing to bet that there was some elements of humor that I didn't quite get yet. Underneath a gray sky, autumn heaves a sad sigh. I am lost in thought and stalling, and I don't know why. There's coffee in my whiskey, and I ain't looking too pretty. I figure today's as good a day as any day there is to die. But I liked being your shadow. You really didn't treat me badly. Wherever you are, I just hope you're happy.
Serious there.
Thank you.
I hope they're happy too.
Me too.
Yeah,
about as serious as I get.
How autobiographical was that?
Yeah.
Pretty autobiographical. The song's called Compatibility Issues.
Oh my.
Anything you'd like to share?
Yeah.
Or I think you just did.
I feel like I just did.
Feel like you just did.
Let's break open that box and talk some more.
Paul Harris, you can be heard tomorrow at Dave's Tea Shop, right?
Yes.
Part of Small Business Saturday and the Chill Fest, which for people that weren't listening again, it's like pop-up music, right?
Mm-hmm.
All over the place.
So while you're doing your holiday shopping at nice local shops, there will be local artists serenading you with their great music.
Right. And you'll be specifically David's Tea, 1645 Damon.
That's right, at 3:30.
Very nice.
Paul, what do you... I ask this a lot of musicians, you know, and a lot of people ask about influences and who you influence, but what is your dream life? Like, I mean, obviously I think all musicians want to end up with giant audiences, big stage. What do you envision yourself as a solo act for your whole career or part of a bigger group, or like, where do you want to go from here? Or do you just kind of let the path go as it goes?
Yeah, I kind of let it go as it goes and keep it as much of like a passion slash hobby as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Also, not really an option. like my dream, like when I was younger and I used to play and write, I didn't spend too much time dreaming of like huge audiences. I was obsessed with the idea of playing like dirty bars filled with smoke.
Right.
That was like where I wanted to be.
Well, the sound, I mean, it works. I mean, you've got this spectacular voice. You're great. You could fill a giant auditorium, but when I just like close my eyes as I did there for a moment and just listen to you play, it reminds me of a smoke-filled bar or a coffee shop or something. Not even definitely a bar.
Yeah,
definitely that vibe, that later night sort of vibe, the end of the night sort of vibe. I don't know. Yeah. That's the feel that I get for it.
And that's where I live. That's what I like, playing lots of late nights. Bars of absolutely lovely quality.
Right.
if any of them are listening, had a great time having me back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you always want to be solo, or do you think you would collaborate or join a band?
I did just recently join a band.
Oh, give us a plug.
So I joined a band called Little Yellow Dog.
Mm-hmm. Little Yellow Dog.
They're awesome, and good. I'm very pumped to join it because for the first time I don't have to be the front person.
Really?
Or, like, I am rhythm guitar. Everyone else is like a more talented, you know, instrumentalist, and I'm just filling out. I'm being the rhythm guitarist I always wished I had.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Are you playing any gigs like?
They just changed up their lineup. They had to meet another guy, so we're probably gonna play one in January.
But we
gotta all mesh together and
get used to each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that interesting? Because I mean, you write your own music here. You do your own stuff. Is it weird to not write the lyrics, or is it a nice chance not to zone out, but just to really feel music and get to do it?
It's a nice opportunity, and the first opportunity I've had in playing like original music to not have so much to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Like to fill it out, the guy who writes the songs, Dakota Anthony, is one of my favorite songwriters. So like, it's just awesome to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And like, fill out the soundscape or whatever. And yeah, all the bands I've been in, I've done most of the creative and organizational work. Whereas this, I'm just part of the team.
You're part of the team, right?
How did this come about? Did you seek it out, or were they looking for you?
Go to Craigslist?
Actually, it's a bit sort of... slightly less random, but close. But I was just, I'm a regular at the Lily's Bar open mic, because that's a really nice, like, creative scene. And found out about them sort of through there. And they lost a guitarist recently for whatever reason, so they needed to replace it. And then two of us kind of came forward. We're like, ooh, we'll do it. And now we're both in. The other guy is a much better guitarist.
So they needed two of you to replace just the one.
Pretty much. And the other man who's filling in or is joining... his name is Scott William, and he's playing at Chill Fest at O's Tap,
ooh,
also at 3:30 p.m. So actually, he's not better than me.
Ooh, competitor.
Nor I said that. We're just as good. Whenever you feel like, you should go to one of us.
I know you said that you were talking to Tom earlier that you had two songs you knew you could play on the radio that were prepared. If we challenged you and gave you a commercial break to come up with a third one, could you possibly do that?
Absolutely. I just got a lightning quick run through some lyrics.
Or you could just make it up right on the spot, too. Not to throw you there, but that would be impossible.
I could. I find when that happens, it gets profane pretty quick.
Oh, boy.
Perfect. We got late night hours. Okay. A little bit more with Paul after the break here on 720 WGN.
Chrome, they swept across the floor, dealing drinks and ultimatums, leaving feelings kind of sore. We wanted more, headed for more atmospheric rooms. I wanted to be a bride, but they kept calling me a groom. Richard started bleeding cause he didn't like the sauce. He was reconstituted in a way that works for us. This works for us, in that it doesn't make much sense. You kids are only happy when you're feeling discontent. We witness miracles in droves and twos and threes. Best of intentions being sold on the cheap. We feign spiritual because we thought it might cost less. Everything to lose, living on stolen metaphors and borrowed pairs of shoes. We got the blues, fought the blues in 12 bars and a blaze, till we learned to roll with it and I kind of learned to play. We witness miracles in droves and twos and threes. Best of intentions being given up for free. We feign spiritual because it seemed like the path of least resistance. Cracks revealing love. I might have had enough. Two-toned and monochrome, they fell dead on the floor. I crushed their skulls with irony and binary. What's more, they wanted more. Took them for more atmospheric rooms. I'm the smiling bride. I'm leading you all to your doom.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so good. Immediately when you started playing, I don't know, this may not have anything to do with the song or the style of it, but have you ever seen the animated film The Triplets of Belleville?
I have not.
Oh, that's what that's...
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
immediately
yeah, yeah.
I got that pulsing sort of moving beat to it with also, it just sounded so good.
Yeah, it's a French movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a French movie. And just kind of
that guitar style, I think it's called Gypsy Jazz.
Gypsy
Jazz.
Oh,
yeah.
Jazz,
yeah, that makes sense for that movie.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, obviously you hadn't seen that movie, but when do you ever like hear something on the TV or at a movie or something on the street and you're like, I got to try and not necessarily recreate it, but like get that sound? Do you ever?
Yeah, all the time. I feel like that's. After you've had a certain amount of lessons, for anyone out there learning, keep up the lessons.
I thought you were going to say drinks, by the way.
Well,
after you've had a certain amount of drinks, you just start stealing from people.
There's never too many drinks to start or, you know, yeah,
right.
Stealing. But basically, yeah, that's a great way to learn is if you hear something, it's like, that's what I need to figure out next.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll get it down and then I'll change it slightly
mm-hmm.
and then it'll be mine.
What was that song about? Tell us what that was.
So it was called Standard Interview Questions.
Wait, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No joke.
Was it based on your last visit that inspired
it was.
You?
I was so angry. No.
Is that about us?
Yeah. No, it was actually like job interview questions.
Okay.
And also like sort of based on, I went to like 14 or 15 schools growing up.
Wow.
So you always had to go in and like interview and prove as to why you were like good enough to go to what was a mediocre school everywhere, which is good. But like, it's just weird. It's kind of against like ideas of binary in general, be it like gender binary or like just how people have like a black or white or yes or no mentality mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. things. Where it's like everything's more complicated than that.
Yes.
And it's annoying to have to play along, but that's obviously the easiest path through.
Did you have standard questions or standard answers once you've been
to play the
12,
game.
15 schools yeah. where you just like
started to really learn how to read a room.
Yeah.
Still with a few slip-ups, but you just kind of whatever makes you the least offensive, mm-hmm. least interesting at first, then you can sit down and figure out what the like mood is of the place, because every, especially like when you're younger, every kid is convinced their world is a, you know, is the be-all end-all,
mm-hmm.
and everywhere you go you have to adapt to that, and whatever difference is, you know, if you speak differently they assume it's because you're dumber or your stuff wasn't as cool, and it's like, no, it's just different names for the same stuff, mm-hmm. like, so best to listen a bit, learn what they like, and then be like, yeah, I'm totally into that.
So did you move a lot around a lot growing up? Is that why you went to so many different schools?
Yeah.
No wonder why you went to three different colleges, too. Did you just keep the trend going?
Habitual,
yeah. It's just what you're used
and then
to.
And even when I dropped out, I moved to, like, several more places. Like, I just couldn't stay.
Well, I wonder that. I mean, is that a real – since you're so used to that, do you fear comfort?
A little bit, yeah, and routine. Although that being said, I've moved so much growing up that I don't even think of things in terms of how old I was or what mm-hmm. year it was. It's just by place.
By place, yeah.
Kind of thing. But I realized I had to stop and, like, go to school and get some roots or I might end up legitimately crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's always on the border, and that's where art and what happens in your mind. That line, like you said, it's not binary. These things start to blur a little bit.
Yeah.
And I imagine because your songs sort of have that the lyrics kind of go through a lot. Like, you can go through a lot really quickly with your lyrics, and you can change tunes, change tones, change ideas, mm-hmm. change quickly. And it's a fun style of music to listen to, because I never know where you're going with it.
That's how I like to do it. Like, I don't like to have choruses that say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a wasted opportunity.
Right.
To change it up. And that way, yeah, gets people.
Well, it also lends itself to something you have to see live.
Yes.
To really appreciate
you should really see me live.
And when can we do that, Paul?
You know, I'm playing Wicker Park's Chill Fest tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. at David's Tea at 1645 North Damon.
Exciting.
How chill will you be?
I will be so chill for about 50 to 60% of it, and random blips of songs I'll get very intense.
What's your favorite part about performing live?
It's changed over the years, but in the last couple years, I like the entire breadth of it. So sometimes you're playing a bar and, like, there's two or three people in there, or mm-hmm. two or three people who come in. And I really like that. Weirdly.
Really? So, yeah, you don't get, like, disappointed by that? Like, oh, well,
I used to. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that, like, if you can't enjoy that, you're probably not going to roll with it too long. It's fun to, like, have a bond, form, like, a weird momentary connection with a few people. And then the game becomes, how many people can I draw in off the street with a random line or lyric? So I like that. And then I also like playing to large groups. Like, reading the room is fun, and doing stuff that you can feel a strong reaction from a few people, or getting people to stop talking or eating, is always a great moment.
Right, I was going to say.
Where it gets quiet.
Yeah, how do you deal with that when it is a large group and it's just noise that they're not paying attention at all?
I know, like, a lot of people perform, understandably, get, like, frustrated or flustered kind of thing, but mm-hmm. I just, you know, everyone's out for whatever reason, their own reasons. Some people have no idea there's going to be music, or they couldn't care less, and why should they? So if you can win them over, that's great. But if not, no harm done. There's mm-hmm. still going to be two or three people you'll connect with. Mm-hmm. And that's fun.
I think you have a style, though, that makes me want to shut up and listen.
Right.
Like, I don't want to say
anything.
What's
going on? What's he talking about?
Yeah. Right.
I love that moment.
Yeah. And you mentioned, like, the no choruses thing. I think it's something that you're not going to hear people singing Paul Harris music as they walk around the streets, because they can't remember all those lyrics, which is fine. I mean, that's okay. It lends itself to, you got to listen again.
It's also a really cool moment. Like, recently, some of the places I've been playing routinely, there are a few people who now know some of the songs well enough that they will sing along.
Wow.
And it's like, that's not easy.
No, that's impressive.
Like, someone covered a song of mine a few weeks ago at one of these things and played it really well.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God, this is the biggest ego trip I've been on.
Yeah, because, like, I know all of Carly Rae Jepsen's songs, but they have a certain rhythm and repetition
right,
to
they
them.
They have a chorus. And
although I love my Carly Rae Jepsen, so
yeah,
not knocking her. You know,
you
I do. Paul, one more time. I know where you're playing tomorrow. What about the websites where people can find you? Because honestly, like, it is so cool to hear your music. I think you're going to be off to really big and great things in the future. I'm serious.
Thank
I don't
you.
Say that to every musician that comes in here. Some of them are crap. No, I'm just kidding. They're all good. No,
There's a wide array of art out there.
No, I'm just kidding. We love everyone that comes on in, but where can people find your stuff, Paul?
So you can find random tracks to like listen to and stuff I'm working on or wrote that day at soundcloud.com/Paul Dott. And if you want to get my albums, which you totally should, they're at paulharris.bandcamp.com. And I believe right now you can get the entire collection for like $3.60.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I like to make them each album less than a cup of coffee because I feel like gets rid of any second guessing. You know, each one's $2.
Do you have actual copies? Like when you go out and play, do you sell any?
I need to get merch.
You need to get some merch, yeah.
I feel bad. I like to keep everything like minimal and convenient sort of thing. And that way no one can complain. So yeah, if you go to paulharris.bandcamp.com, you can get entire collection, which is 34 songs.
Ooh.
For $3.
$3. And 29 of those were released since January.
Oh my goodness.
Man, you've been busy. I'm trying to picture what I would do around the house because that's when I listen to music most. Mm-hmm. And when I'm cleaning, I'm usually doing something power bopping because I got that Swiffer and I really need to Carly Rae Jepsen it up or something.
You need to Carly Rae Jepsen that floor.
But I imagine having coffee on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Or a late night
or
whiskey.
Or if you've had a day where you're, if you're really in your own head and you want to be in someone else's. Step on into mine.
Man, even that was poetic. I mean, come on. Paul, we love when you come by. Really, thanks again.
Best
of luck, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Right on. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
All right, we'll have more coming up here with John and Esmeralda on 720 WGN. And John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon filling in for Patty Vasquez and Pretty Late. Roger Banish along for the ride as well. Roger, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was excellent. It's the first Thanksgiving in about 30 years that I haven't been working or haven't been deathly ill.
Oh, geez.
Well, yeah, there was that stretch there, too. Well, that's wonderful. Roger, did you enjoy it?
Yes, it was wonderful, with one exception.
Uh-oh.
My wife, who has always been in perfect health, with few exceptions, but always in perfect health for the round Thanksgiving. This year, she wasn't. So she was at home on Monday. She had 105 temperature.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But she's much better now. We got antibiotics for her. She's doing good. We brought her home some pumpkin pie and some turkey, some barbecue brisket. Oh, my God. It was so good. From Pit Barbecue and stuffing and all that good stuff. And so she actually had some today and is feeling better. And so we had it at one of my, our daughter's oldest girlfriends from like grade school lived a few blocks away from us. She decided to put on Thanksgiving for her and her boyfriend and her kids and our daughter and her kids. And
that's cool. So you got to tag along?
Yeah. So
a tag along.
I had a really great time. And
did you bring anything, Raj?
Myself.
Oh, wow.
You're like me. I was like, I just showed up my brother.
I was told not to bring anything.
Okay, if you were told.
Okay. Yeah, seriously. She really has been wanting to do this for several years, and we just never had the time to, you know, it just never connected.
Yeah,
so, it was a very relaxing, very nice, enjoyable, very filling.
Mm-hmm. I can tell. I can see on the camera from up here.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
I can see you hiding that monitor there.
You know,
there.
The TV puts 10 pounds on you.
I know it every morning, Roger. Yeah. Trust me. 10 if I'm lucky. 10 on a good day.
Going to those loose-fitting shirts now, are we?
Oh, loose as they get, Roger. I call them the Baddish Special. I wear
Thank
my Baddish shirts.
Wow.
That's nice, Roger.
Man.
I mean, I'm sorry that she was sick, but I'm glad that she's feeling better. That's the important thing.
Yeah, she's doing much better. I think she's got one more day of the antibiotic.
Okay.
And she sounded great today. She actually got her voice back today. So.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
That's always positive. That's always so stressful when someone obviously you love so
deeply.
Well,
yeah. It's because I really didn't want to go. She said, go. And I know she was under stress because she really wanted to go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I says, look, you're
did she
the
want
nurse.
To go more than you? Is that what you said? She really wanted to go.
Well, I really wanted to go too.
Yeah, that
I
really
to
was a little softer.
Her.
That really was a little softer.
Judge, but you know, it's hard to tell. She has a very strong personality, and it's hard to tell her when she can't get out of the bed that you know maybe you should think of not trying to go because you can't really walk 5 feet.
Well, didn't you ever see Willy Wonka? Don't they just drag the bed over there?
Oh,
like
yeah,
you could have just rolled the bed down the street.
I'll be a son of a gun.
Is that, well, is that's how that movie went?
Yeah.
We got one of those beds where the head kind of
goes tilts up.
And down. Yeah, it tilts up and down. Maybe if I'd put like a super powered engine onto it,
just
aimed
some
it
wheels
in the right direction, and just pop that button and fly her right over there.
No, just some wheels. You push, Roger.
Yeah, you gotta, do some of the work.
That wasn't too far.
Yeah.
10 miles, 15 miles.
Well,
I needed the exercise.
Look, yeah, there you go.
You've done traffic, Esmeralda, as I have too. We've heard worse things happening on the expressway than someone pushing a bed with someone on it. We hear mattresses on the road all the time.
Oh,
so.
Debris in the middle. Debris. What kind of debris?
There's been semis.
It's just baddish.
Just baddish
pushing
just baddish in the right lane.
Wait a minute, is it Thanksgiving? It's just baddish.
It's just baddish with a sleep number on the Kennedy. So Roger and Esmeralda, we're chatting through stories, looking through stories, and this one's interesting, and this comes out of the USA Today, I don't know what day this was. This was recently, and it was why you shouldn't give gifts to adults.
Yeah, should not.
Should not. So the holiday season's here, the article says, and shoppers have started the annual scramble, of course, to find that perfect gift for everyone on their list. Most of whom, I think I said gift right there. You want to find a good gift for everyone.
I mean,
but
you should.
Yeah.
You should find good gifts.
Yeah, go online. There's some really nice ones.
There's some really funny ones. It'll make everyone chuckle. But here's why you shouldn't get grown adults gifts. And I don't know, I can't say that. But the first reason they say is that they're a waste of resources. They say that Americans will spend, an average of nearly $1,000 per holiday season. Maybe you're just all too nice. I get cheap gifts for everyone else. Which means that we're going to spend over $678 billion as a country, which, of course, is important to the economy.
Yeah.
But it's they say that Americans waste up to $10 billion in unwanted gifts. So $71. So of that $900-some that you spend, $71 of it is a waste. And they say that recipients underestimate a gift's monetary value by 18%. So even if you get them something good, they don't even think it's as expensive as you bought for it. So there's like a gap between how much they think you're giving.
Well, but I'm also like, why is that even a thought?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I always wonder when I get a gift. I'm like, I wonder how much this was.
What?
No.
What kind of way?
I go looking for that tag in a heartbeat. Well, let's say it's between my brothers and we're all exchanging gifts.
Yeah.
Gifts. Why can I not say gift?
Presents.
Presents. There we go. You just kind of compare. You just kind of look.
But you're doing it in the, oh.
You're doing it with just your brothers, comparing which brother got.
Yes. No. If I buy something for my younger brother and I see what comes back, I want it to be kind of equal. They always outdo me, for the record.
That's not the spirit of giving.
No, not at all. It's the spirit of getting is what it is.
See, but things like moms, my mom always, if I get her, she'll be like, oh, how much did you spend on this? Right. Why are you spending money on me?
Show me that receipt so
you
I can
don't need
put
to
it
spend
in my pocket.
Anything. Yeah. No, she's just like, why are you? I could give her a chocolate. And she's like, why did you get? No, come on.
Right.
Why did you spend this money?
Just get her a Tums. Tamales. There you go. Merry Christmas. They say the stress can literally feel like a marathon. I agree with that. Holiday shopping is obviously rough. And, you know, get it for the kids, obviously. That's no one's disputing that. But for adults, it just adds stress. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, but I really want people to chime in here. 312-981-7200. Send us a text or give us a call. I've heard of people doing this, not giving gifts to their siblings as adults, to their parents. For a couple years, we're not doing it this year, but we did gifts instead of presents, instead of giving it to both of my brothers and their wives. We picked one, so the couples all picked one couple, and they bought a gift instead of having gifts for everybody. So just to limit things down a little bit, make it a little bit more manageable. So
are nice.
Yeah, 312-981-7200. Let us know if you're still giving other adults gifts, and if you should. That's coming up on 720 WGN. WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda, Leon filling in for Patty Vasquez. She's running it. She's going to make it. She's sitting down. How are you doing, Esmeralda? Sorry to put you on the spot there.
I had to use the little girl's room.
Nothing wrong with that. You did very well.
I had to take a break on the break.
You had to take a break on the break. We're talking about giving gifts to other adults. And USA Today, a column in there talks about how that's no good. Shouldn't be done anymore if you can avoid it, just because it's a lot of money, first and foremost.
Yeah.
It's often going for gifts that are just gifts that you give people because you feel like you have to. They don't need that gift. That gift is wasted. That gift sits somewhere. I mean, do you have any gifts that have never been opened? Not you've unwrapped them, but they're just sitting somewhere.
I usually donate them.
Yeah.
At one point, I just go, and this goes to Goodwill.
Right.
Because it's like, it's just gathering dust in my house. I don't need it.
I have a pressure cooker that's just sitting there.
Oh, you should use that, though.
I heard that. That's why I'm going to keep it.
You actually should use that.
Yeah, I know. But okay, I will eventually. You can give me as many crock pots. I always could use an extra crock pot or four.
Pressure cookers are so good, though.
Yeah, I've heard. I'll try it. That's why I have it, but I haven't used it.
You can cook things so quickly.
I must have gotten that 4 years ago.
What? Yeah. Come on.
I know. And so they're saying adults shouldn't give gifts. And I think that especially when you have in-laws, mm-hmm. uncles, aunts, I mean, there's got to be some limit to the madness.
Right. How do you choose? Is it only when you see people? Like you see that person? Do you get them a gift or do you have to send them a gift?
I don't know. That's a good question. How many gifts do you buy, Esmeralda Leon?
Very rarely.
Really?
Yeah, I don't even get my boyfriend something, I don't think. You know, because it's like, what am I going to get? If I can't
right.
think of anything good, why am I going to get you anything? I see you every day.
Mm. You live together now.
Yeah, we live together. And it's kind of like this whole... Thank you, yes. It's this whole... I don't know. I just feel like just being together and going, maybe we go to the zoo lights. Or we go to dinner and this and that. And
that's
just
enough.
Gestures.
Yeah,
I think are enough.
As long as it goes both ways, that's fine.
Right. If he's not getting me stuff, he actually likes getting me stuff, and I don't like it.
Well, you should tell him
for
that.
Our anniversary, he got me things. And I'm like, why are you getting me stuff?
Because he's trying to be nice.
I sound like my mom. I'm like, why are you getting me things?
I was just going to say, you're just channeling your mother there.
Yeah.
But I guess if you have that conversation beforehand, then that's totally fine. And that's what article goes on to say is that, you know, if you are going to give up gifts, make sure everyone's on the same page.
Right.
So you don't just show up empty handed.
Or if you are about the gifts, just be like, you know, I'm going to get you something. Don't be mad.
Yeah, don't be mad.
But I don't care if you get me something.
Exactly. But then they will always get you something. I mean, they will. 312-981-7200. And I think we have, you know, everything. You know, I think a lot of, well, I shouldn't speak for everyone, but when I try and come up with a Christmas list for mm-hmm. the limited gifts I get from my parents and from my brother or brothers, depending on the year, man, I I'm very lucky and blessed. I don't really have many things that I like need or want. I mean, like,
right.
just pay my electric bill for the month. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Contribute to my rent.
Yeah, but
right?
just give me money for rent, please.
But this year I have a few things, but it's like, go to DSW, get me a pair of shoes, and I'll
right.
return which ones I want to get,
Good
which
job.
Is fine.
You know what, too, is my mom is not the best at knowing what I like.
Do you tell her?
I mean, when she sees, you know, we'll go shopping and just in general, and she'll be like, "What about this?" And I'm like, "No, I don't like that." But then she'll get me something, and I'm just not my style whatsoever. Although I feel bad because the coat she got me a coat a couple of years ago, the winter coat,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of sat on it, not wanting to look at it.
I thought you meant
for
literally.
A few days, because she handed it to me and she was like, "I got this for you," and I was like, "Ma, I told you not to get me anything."
Right.
And I didn't look at it for a few days. And then when I did, it was the
red one.
Yes.
I love that coat.
I know. I'm like, Ma.
She did good.
She did
That's
real
a great
good.
Coat.
I felt real bad. I felt like such a jerk.
312-981-7200. Should you get other gifts for adults in their lives? I think parents to kids will always be something that you give gifts. Roger, do you give gifts still to the kids?
Oh, gosh, yes. To the grandkids?
No, your children.
Oh,
children.
Our own kids?
Yes.
We give them money now.
Yeah, just straight up cash.
That's what my parents now do.
It's a very beneficial thing.
And they give you gifts?
Yeah.
They just give you the money straight back?
Little
Do you hand them the envelope and then they just take $5 or $10 out of it and then hand it right back to you?
No, we take care of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're little tchotchkes that they give us. Because they know we don't, especially after the past year where mm-hmm. I've gotten rid of everything I've ever owned.
Mm-hmm. On Craigslist?
No, I either threw it out or said who wants it on Facebook and mailed it out to people.
I didn't know that's what was happening.
Mailing things to people?
Man,
yeah, no big deal.
It was free shipping on Roger's Facebook
right?
page?
Yeah.
I didn't see that special.
Like, oh, it's like
come
Amazon.
On. I had a ton of comic books.
I saw that stuff.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to come over and pick it up.
You should have come over. You should have. I still
he
got
a few
things.
He would have sent it.
He would have sent it.
I would have sent
it. I want overnight, though, Raj. I want overnight.
Overnight. I'll drive it over. You don't live that far?
No,
no media mail. I want insurance. I want it next
Wait
day.
A minute. Let's not get too crazy.
312-981-7200. They do list some alternatives that you can do. So if money's a limitation, they say give your time. So maybe as a family, go pick a volunteer thing. We were talking about Chicago Cares yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
That's a great place to go, chicagocares.org.
Oh,
you got a family thing you want to do.
That'd
volunteers your family. That sounds like a good thing. And if you're not ready to quit cold turkey with all the adults, maybe cut back on gifts. And that's sort of what we did. We went ascending order of brother to brother gifts and then descending the next year so that you switched off who you got gifts for. But then they abandoned it this year. Apparently everyone's doing really well financially except for me. So
they're
all like, oh yeah, back to everyone.
I think too, it's a thing of like, do I, like you said, is it, am I going to give them something that they want?
Right.
I always, the people who I want to give as gifts are the ones where I go, I know what I want to give you, and it's going to be great
idea.
For you, and you would love it.
Right.
But other than that, I'm like, I
know.
Don't know what you want.
But
I'm
see, here's the clue
anything.
To this, and I consider myself a pretty good gift giver.
Okay.
I pay attention to the people that I know I'm going to buy a gift for the whole year.
You're thinking
so
about
it. Well, I'm watching what they do and what they need and what they say. In other words, gosh, you know, they may say, oh, boy, I need another chair for the, or I, boy, this coat is old or things like that. Just little, they're not consciously dropping hints.
Mm-hmm.
They're just living life every day. But
do you write it down then? Or
I remember what it is. Yes,
wow.
I
you
do.
You are a great
and then
listener.
I talk it over with Bridget, and I say, well, you know, so-and-so really says they need this, and they want this, and stuff. And again, differences between need and want.
Right.
You know, I want a 69 vet, but I'll never get it, and I don't need it.
And the kids are like, stop bugging the phone, that you're just listening and eavesdropping on other private conversations, Roger.
That click really gives me away. All right, so I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
Okay.
And that might help with your listeners.
Yeah.
One, if you're not buying a gift, but you still want to give something, like you asked, what about our kids?
Mm-hmm.
And I say we give them money. Money, check, or cash, or gift card.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Either, in other words, what?
Tell me what.
Which would work best or mean more?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people get a gift card for a place like, oh, I never go there.
Right.
Yeah, and then you just sell it off on those websites.
Right.
Oh, really? There's, you
yeah, there's
do
websites
that?
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then when do you... I'm sorry. Because I had this other thought, then I got to the money thing.
Gather your thoughts
for
a second, Roger. We actually have John on the line, and he's got a solution here. Roger, we'll gather. John, what's your solution here? What do you guys do for gift-giving between adults?
Well, we always have our immediate family, mother, father, and children. That's the only people that swap gifts.
So you don't do any more aunts or uncles or anything like that?
No.
How many children? Yeah.
Well, how many do you have?
Okay. I was going to say, you're a family of seven.
John, how many are in your family?
Four.
Okay.
Okay. That's reasonable. That's a good number.
Do you set like a price limit when everyone's got to follow it?
Well, we usually try and exchange gifts with a one person, one-on-one basis, you know, like a grab bag.
Oh, that's smart.
And you spend $20.
I like that.
That's a good idea. John, hey, thanks for the phone call. We really appreciate it. We got to get to break here, though. And we just got a text from the 224, something similar. My in-laws do a grab bag for adults, and all they do is exchange gift cards. I think that's a really
good
idea.
And Roger, we have someone's dropping a slight hint at the 262. I need a Rolex.
Yeah. NSA.
Just keep that in mind.
Big Roger's listening on the line.
I've got a whole stack of blank cards that fit in the Rolex. I mean...
There you go.
What, in the box? The watch box?
It's just sitting in my little cubby hole on my desk. I got rid of the Rolex, but I still had a bunch of blank pages on it.
No one's claiming that on Facebook, Roger?
Yeah, I haven't.
Wait, Roger, you mean Rolodex.
Oh, Rolex.
I'm so glad you figured that out.
What are you talking about?
Roger.
Sorry, never
mind. I was like, the paper.
It's a Rolex.
And the fact that you said you got rid of a Rolex, I was like,
Rolodex. I'm sorry.
Roger.
It's been a long week. I'm still having turkey withdrawal.
Roger, you gave away your Rolodex?
My Rolodex.
Who needed a... Oh, you threw it away.
I threw it away.
Just the bones of it?
It had phone numbers from like 40 years ago.
Okay, but but you kept the numbers, you said.
Huh?
You kept all the numbers or
you
no?
You kept the papers.
Well, I've got the blank pages.
Oh, the blank.
Because,
I was like, the whole point of a Rolodex is to keep those papers organized. Why would you throw that away and keep the papers?
Gotta go.
It's going to go soon. Trust me. I'm getting there. I do little bits at a time. Rolodex.
When you retire,
Who needs a Rolex now? You got a cell phone.
Roger, when you retire, I'm getting you a gold Rolodex. More coming up on 720. We're chuckling in here. I don't know if this segment's going to be the one that gets me off the air on WGN, but I'm going to share it anyways. This is just me in real life, and again, I'm not trying to be offensive in any way. I support anyone that's religious to do whatever they do, as long as they're not telling everyone else they have to do it. All for it. So I was big into Sunday school. I liked Sunday school. I liked the social aspect of it.
Okay.
And I was big into the confirmation process, the process where you... become an adult. I don't know. Whatever it is. But I'm a social being. So my friends were there. Like one of my best friends growing up, neighbor down the street, Kent, he went. Mm-hmm. I had some friends there that went to the other schools and across town. You know, it was just a really good social gathering. It was fun. Of course, you learn great lessons, and I've carried them throughout my life. I'm a good person. I do nice things for people. You do too. I live the life of someone who follows religion very closely, but I don't. I do the teachings of Jesus. I just mispronounced his name. The teachings of Jesus. Anyways, so the one thing I love to do was lead. Every year there was one children's sermon or children's service. So the kids of the church would lead the normal mass. Okay. So they'd hand over the keys of the car, except for we wouldn't hand out the wine. But we would take it over. And every year they made me like the acting pastor. And I would write a sermon. I loved to give it. I lived for this every single year. I was like a really big thing. Always wanted to be the acolyte in church. And I feel like my motives, I feel like I was doing good things, were purely because it was a stage. I liked to perform. You know,
right.
And that sounds terrible to say, but sermons carried true messages about... Mm-hmm. Loving neighbors, all that sort of stuff. I wish I could pull some of these up. Well, anyway, so they normally obviously had adults teach Sunday school. Well, there was an opening for Sunday school, and two of us that were leaders in the kids' church, we were asked, we were probably 13 or 14, we were asked if we wanted to teach second grade Sunday school. And I did it. This is how long ago this was. I was doing it to impress a girl. This was 20 years ago before that all changed. And her name was Kristen, and I kind of had a crush on her, whatever you thought a crush was back then. And I was like, all right, we'll teach this class. We were woefully unprepared to teach a Sunday school class. I had read the Bible. I had done all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But like we were kids. So we couldn't make a lesson plan that would last the full 50 minutes of Sunday school.
Yeah.
We'd get about 15 minutes in and, you know, we're not educators. We don't know how to vamp, like, through religion. Kids start asking questions. I have no idea. They're raising interesting points. I'm trying to teach lessons of Jonah and the whale, David with the lions, all this sort of stuff. And then they start asking follow-ups. I'm like, hell if I know, kid. I wouldn't say hell in church.
Read your Bible.
Heck if I know. Yeah, it's in the Bible.
Read it.
That's homework. So what we would do, and I'm just so embarrassed, but what we came up with to kill time was a game.
Okay, what was the game?
And you'd sit everyone in a circle, Indian style, and they'd all sit around.
Duck, goose?
No, yeah, close.
Yeah. Jesus, Jesus.
It was duck, Jesus.
Holy Spirit? Duck, Jesus.
Would play duck, Jesus.
Wait, and then they would,
you would go duck, maybe some more ducks.
Right.
You know how kids like to fake it out.
Yeah.
And then someone would be Jesus. And then Jesus would rise, I hate to say that, up, and run and. It was Duck, Duck, Goose. It was the
and
whole
then
game.
Chase the other person down.
Yeah.
Before that person sat in
Jesus' spot.
He'd
put on sandals and run around. No, he would. He'd run around. He'd try and catch him.
Yeah, but there was so water he'd have to walk over.
Yeah,
first.
He had to walk over the water. Yeah.
It was an obstacle course.
Yeah.
To perform six blessings before he got over there. But I say that, and again, I was 13 years old, so don't be upset, people, that I was blasphemous and all this stuff.
Duck, duck, Jesus.
No, I'm not making fun of the religion at all. Like, this is, I recognize now, this is how much I respect the religion,
right.
Even though I don't practice it too much. I respect that this was absurd to do. Like, this is a shameful part of my history that not a lot of people know. I've never told my parents this. Just me and Kristen and those second graders who went to learn about God and Jesus and got 15 minutes about what the lesson was and then played Duck, duck, Jesus.
I mean, you meant
about
well.
20 to 30
games
minutes.
In Sunday school with the kids, they play games
but
about
not
religion.
Duck,
and
yeah, not duck, duck, Jesus.
Jesus.
You don't know
what's the lesson there that Jesus will catch you if you don't run fast enough.
Darn tootin'.
Like it should have been duck, duck, Jesus, and Jesus stood up and gave you a hug. That would have been nice.
Oh, yeah.
Or Jesus does
or
something
his hand
good
upon
for you,
you
yes.
And blessed you and
yes.
Took out the evil spirits.
Right.
You know,
oh,
how dare you say duck, duck
right.
You know,
yes.
All day long.
Right.
And here, I'm going to cure you of that.
Right. Something. Yeah. Something to connect it to what
sure.
Jesus and his teachings were all about.
I think
about.
You meant well.
I know I meant well.
It was a teachable moment.
Oh, boy. I have never actually told this story out loud with my voice.
Although the big question
is, I'm trembling in fear.
How'd you do with Kristen?
Actually, we dated about a month. This must have been junior high then. She wasn't my last girlfriend, but she was one of the last ones.
Duck, duck, Jesus did it all. Thank you, duck, duck, Jesus.
I love it. Didn't win that one over. I need to message Kristen. Her mom was like a teacher too, a Sunday school teacher. And I played duck, duck, Jesus with the kids. So I didn't quite know.
How long did you teach the class?
Oh, I think they became wise to us and kicked us out.
Figured
after
out
half
like
the
what
year.
Are they doing? In there?
What the heck is that running around, screaming duck, duck, Jesus?
Oh, gosh.
I know. I'm sorry, but that's what I did. But I loved going to church. I loved going as a kid. I loved going as a teenager. I especially loved it during this time of the year, the Advent calendar. Light one, candle four, and you light the candles each week.
Mm.
You sing the songs. I'm sure I got a lot of positive vibes from it, even if I'm not super practicing. I'm sure through osmosis, some of that rubbed off, and I am a better person because of it.
Right.
So I'm all about everyone going to church if you
want
to do that.
We're not a religious. We're religious, but we're not religious.
Right.
Like, my mom's very religious. She watches church on TV.
Well, that's commitment.
Right. Because sometimes my dad's
like Joel
like,
Osteen
I don't wanna go.
Or?
No, like real church.
Oh,
like, you know when they show it on Sundays?
Oh, like the closed circuit?
Yeah, the closed circuit. She'll watch that. Because sometimes she can't get to church.
Right. So they have a closed circuit?
Yeah, so she'll watch it on whatever. There's like local channels.
They should do Facebook Live church.
They probably do.
I would
do
watch
that. For Temple, too, actually.
They do Facebook Live?
Well, it's not Facebook Live, but there's
a
temple out of Florida.
Yeah.
I found it on Amazon Prime. Under, I did.
Okay.
Honest to goodness. Because I can't get to Temple on Friday night because I'm sleeping and then I'm getting ready to come into here.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we went to Reform Temple, so we go to services on Friday nights. So this place, it's recorded. They don't do it live, so you can catch the previous week's service.
Previously on service.
On previous. Temple Palm Beach.
Last week on Temple Palm Beach. Well, then what about with all the religious holidays? Is everything all behind?
Yeah.
So Hanukkah's almost over. You're on the last day of Hanukkah when you're doing the first day of Hanukkah.
Well, I don't need to go to Temple for Hanukkah.
Right. Does it have a pre...
It's not that's not one of the high holy days.
At the end of the episode, does it say next week?
On the next episode
of Temple Palm Beach.
And can you...
The rabbi approaches the cantor and says, E-flat?
And do you binge watch it? Like, if you miss six weeks in a row, can you really...
No. Because a Friday night service is a Friday night service. The only difference is the Torah portion, which changes every week, just like on regular church services. The sermon, which I used to fall asleep during anyway when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then all the kids have got a birthday that week or something. You know, and that's about it.
Got it on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime under there's a section religion,
right?
And what else is there?
And all of the churches
Oh,
they,
okay.
Yeah.
It's smart.
They got churches. Every religion is covered on that section.
I'll have to let my mom.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I mean, that's great. I mean, churches should be doing this to preach, to send their message to a newer generation of people, people that can't be able to get out of the house.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it is, too. Mm-hmm. Usually on TV, it's church for people who can't get to church.
Before they had the internet and special TVs and all this other stuff, they used to, you could tune in your community to a low channel frequency and catch the radio broadcast of the service. There might be one or two churches within a community.
Well, no, it's on TV.
Now it's on TV,
Yeah, it's on the local. You can watch it. Feels like you're right there.